Welcome into the JP Shadrick Podcast. Today is Thursday, October 26th. It's the bye week. The Jaguars roll into the bye at 4-3. They're tied for first place in the AFC South. Tennessee currently holds the tiebreaker, though. There is a lot of football still to be played here in 2017. Let's get right into it today. Early in the week, the team was still basking in the glow of the 27-0 win over the Indianapolis Colts. It was the first Jags shutout win since 06, and the first shutout loss for the Colts since 1993. And for the defense and defensive end, Calais Campbell, it's always important to try to steal a shutout when you can.
We've had some opportunities earlier this year. You know, we always, anytime you have a game going on your side, you want to get the goose egg. That's like, the biggest reward you can have as a defense, you know. And so, anytime there's opportunity, it becomes very serious, And we definitely, made sure everybody knew, hey, stay focused. We got a chance to get a goose egg, So it feels pretty good. That's definitely a huge accomplishment. In the NFL, it's very hard to do. So when you get one, you take that with a lot of pride.
A big part of Sunday's game was players filling in for injured or sick players for the Jaguars. T.J. Yeldon got his first action of the season at running back with Leonard Fournette on the bench with a bad ankle. And on the offensive line, Tyler Shatley continued to fill in for Brandon Linder at center, who has an illness. And after Cam Robinson, the left tackle, went down on the second play of the game with an ankle injury, Josh Wells entered the game in an unexpected time. It's next man up for sure for Wellsy.
Flats, Coach Flaherty, he does a great job all week, rotating guys in, getting them reps, telling you to prepare and be a pro, to prepare like you're going to start, prepare like you're going to play. And I think that helps. There's definitely a change up, when you go in. But preparing like that all week and having and trusting in the game plan and the guy beside you definitely helps.
That offensive line helped give Blake Bortles time to push the ball downfield. An emphasis for the quarterback this week.
We wanted to break some tendencies. Obviously with Leonard being out, the way he's been running has been, incredible. And we've been heavy run in all those big packages. So we wanted to do some different things. We had a feeling that they were going to kind of play us like guys have in the past and put a bunch of people in the box. So we wanted to kind of take chances and, throw down the field a little bit.
Now, after the win, the Jags are 4-3, including 2-1 in the division, with two big road wins at Houston and at Indy. Five of the next seven games are at Everbank Field, and this Jaguars team controls its own destiny at the bye week. It's been a while since we've been able to say that. Now let's get into a sneak listen to a visit with head coach Doug Marrone, a preview of the Thursday night Doug Marrone show on the Jaguars radio network. We sat down Tuesday morning and took a look at the first half of the 2017 season.
4-3 at the bye. It's a good place to be, I guess, right?
Well, I think you always want to, you want more, and you look back and you're like, gosh, we could have done this or could have done that. And you only look at it one way, but it could also go the other way. But I think that, in the games we've won, by playing well in all three phases and being very consistent. In the games we've lost, we've all contributed to those losses. And it's a matter of, creating that consistency and coming back and taking a good look at, what we're doing well, what we need to improve upon. Make sure we work on it. Make sure that the things in these past seven games, that have come up where we maybe have not taken advantage of the opportunity, make sure if they come up again, we can take advantage of it or, again, be ahead of it.
Doug Marrone with us, Jaguars head coach. The offense, let's start there last week, the best rushing attack in football. But the challenge was to see how you could mix it up on offense and push the ball down the field. You guys did that last week. Blake Bortles had his best game of the season, 330 yards through the air. Now the trick is to do it again that way, right, and keep that consistent.
Well, obviously, it is. And we were getting situations where, it was real, really heavy boxes. Everyone really geared up to stop the run. And we were able to, to continue to run the football, but we thought that, we had to, look to get the ball further down the field with some of the play action and really put a lot of time in it and work on it. Not that we haven't before, but one of the things that we were able to do and one of the reasons why we were able to take those shots where maybe some people would look at and say, well, they really haven't done that before, is that we were able to hold up from a protection standpoint and we were able to win on the outside. And that's why I think a lot of times people look at the calls or look at, the players. But, collectively, we've got to hold up in protection and create a clean pocket. We've got to make sure that we can deliver the ball. We've got to make sure that we're able to come open and have a good area, to that target that he's able to go ahead and catch it. I think when you look at the first, couple drives of the last game, we're able to get those big chunk plays that enable us to score points. And that's something that, obviously you have to do to win in this league.
We're hearing a lot about the 1984 Bears all of a sudden, Coach.
little early, a little premature for that, you think? I mean, it's a good group so far, but that was a really good group in 84, right?
Well, I've gotten this question twice now. This is the third time, and I'm just going to say one thing, and I'm going to answer this question the same way I've answered the other ones. Stop. Let's stop. We're happy with what our players are doing. It's obviously, it's been productive. It's obviously something that we want to keep going. But we want to be the 2017 Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that, you know, I can make light of, you know, listen, I played against that Bears defense in my first year, you know, when I was down there in Miami. So, you know, I know the players that were on that team, and they were great players. And we feel that we have, you know, great players here. But the one thing about the Bears team, they did it consistently. They did it from week to week. They're able to win a lot of football games and win a championship. So, you know, we have a ways to go in doing that, but we do look forward to the challenge every week, going out and proving that, you know, that we are very good, both in the front end and in the back end.
Hear the full visit with head coach Doug Marrone coming up Thursday night on the Doug Marrone Show. It airs at 6 o'clock on the Jaguars Radio Network, Jaguars.com, and the Jags app. Now away from football, it's a busy week at Daly's Place Amphitheater. Santana played Tuesday night, Kings of Leon on Wednesday. But coming up November 4th, part of the Massage Envy concert series, Colt Ford will play the night before the Bengals game at Daly's Place. He's touring in support of his sixth studio album, and he has a history of collaborations with some of the biggest stars in country music. But his star continues to rise as well. We caught up earlier this week ahead of the November 4th show here in Jacksonville. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing well. Jags are in first place, so everything's good down here in Jacksonville right now at 4-3, a first place tie at least. You are in the midst of how long is your tour right now, and what part of it are you on, Colt?
It doesn't seem to ever end, to be honest with you. Somebody asked me when I went on tour. I said July 2008. That's when I started. I just hadn't stopped. I like to play, man. I'm lucky to be able to do this for a living, so I don't really take much time off.
What's Willie Nelson say? The tour that never ends, right? Neither
That's
one.
That's what it seems like for me. The road never ends. Every time I ask for time off, after about a week, I'm start itching and I'm ready to go do something. So I just keep playing.
We've got plenty to get to with you today. The career with the new album coming out, but let's start way back in Athens, Georgia, and that's your hometown, where you're from.
Yep.
You were a professional golfer for a little bit. A lot of people might not know that. The mid '90s, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, most people, when they look at me, they just instantly think like male model or something. But yeah, I did. I played professional golf for about 10 years. Sure did.
Wow. So, I mean, you were on the Nike Tour then, I guess.
Yeah, it was even the Hogan Tour when I started, and then it went to the Nike Tour, and then, you know, to where it is now. And I played a variety of events and all over the world, actually.
What is your best round of golf?
I've shot 63 times in my life.
60?
Yeah.
Any of those in an actual event, or just playing?
No, not an actual event. I think my low turnaround was maybe 63, maybe.
Yeah. When did you realize that golf was probably not the best route, or it was over with, you know, you needed to try something
else? I don't ever say that I wouldn't think that it was not the best route. I mean, I made a living for 10 years doing only that. It's just, you know, you're kind of one swing away from, you know, playing for $1 million and not playing for much. And when I was playing, too, there wasn't near as much money as there is now, of course. I mean, what Tiger just completely changed the game. But also, just even the smaller, the mini tours, it was really tough to make a living. But I had some injuries, and it's expensive to be out there. And just, you know, just didn't know what else to do. So then I became a club pro and a teaching pro. I was teaching some other tour pros and working with that, and then decided to go back to music one more time. I was never able to cut it off. You know, music was just always a part of who I am.
Colt Ford is with us coming up November 4th at Daly's Place Amphitheater, just outside of Everbank Field. You said you went back to music, so music had a background in your life at a younger age, I guess, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. It's always been kind of a part of who I am. I mean, it's something I've always done. I've never known anything without it, really. I just, when I was trying to do both growing up, or when I first turned pro, my wife, she said, you know, you can do either one you want to. You just got to pay the bills. But you kind of got to pick because they don't go together. And music is when I'm going to bed, when generally that's when you need to be getting up and golf. So the schedules don't really coincide very well. Yeah. So I just decided to do golf at the time. I knew the truth of the matter is in golf, I know if you're good enough, if you have enough talent, you can make a living. Music is not like that. I mean, there's still fantastic people, some of the best you've ever heard that are probably you'll never hear on the radio. They'll never get a record deal, whether, you know, just luck, right place, wrong time, whatever it is. It just doesn't work out. And so I knew I could make a living with golf, and I did that. But then I just never could cut the music thing off in me. You know, it's just who I am. So I went back to it and got really lucky.
That's the tough thing because the odds are against a lot of musicians, a lot of talented people, a lot of talented writers who might not get picked up, a lot of talented musicians might not be heard somewhere. What was the moment? Where did you know you had a shot to make this thing professionally?
Well, I mean, again, I've always fooled with it and tried to make it. I meant I just when I went back in the studio one more time to start working on this my first album, Ride Through the Country, and it just. The whole album was basically done in 10 days, I mean, or 2 weeks at the most. It just kind of came together, and it, you know, the moment I started letting some people hear it, it was like, wow, they really like this. And, you know, sometimes you just got to put it all out. You just got to go all in and put it out there and take a risk, and I did that and have been really lucky that it worked out.
Colt Ford is with us November 4th at Daly's Place Amphitheater. The music business has changed over the past 10, 15 years, if you want to narrow it down to that. Digital content is king now in music. Not gone, but rare are the days of getting a CD and reading through the liner notes and the albums in the old days and all that. How has that changed your experience as a professional musician? Has it helped you? Has it changed anything over the past 10 years or so?
I mean, it's definitely changed, but my fans, the majority of my fans, I still sell a lot of physical CDs, and I still really like to spend time with the liners and the pictures and things in there that you can't get anywhere else. So a lot of my fans really still like physical CDs, and, you know, certainly the digital thing has changed a whole lot, and which is fine. I mean, you know, it's the nature of everything. I meant, you know, NFL football like it was 20 years ago, neither. So everything changes. I mean, but, you know, you just got to kind of figure out a different way to make it work, and that's what I keep trying to do every day.
How would you describe your concert? What do you expect on November 4th at Daly's Place? What if somebody hasn't seen you before, what should they come plan for?
It's just complete and total energy. My whole show is like a two-minute drill in the NFL. I mean, it's wide open, fast-paced. I just don't know any other way to play. I only have one gear, and it's pretty much high gear. And I just think that you owe the fans everything you got when you get out there. You know what I mean? I mean, they've paid hard-earned money to come see me, and that's the way I play. I mean, in my hour-and-a-half show, normally most people, I look at other artists set less, and they'll be 15, 17 songs or something like that. I'm normally 25 songs. I mean, I just go at it, man. I have so much fun up there, and I just think you owe the fans that, you know? I mean, they're paying hard-earned money to come see you, give them everything they got, and I just leave it all out there every single night.
That means you've had to build up some stamina over time to play that long of a set list, right? I mean, you don't just start out playing 30 songs.
I get tired up there. I ain't gonna lie to you about that, but the adrenaline and the fans and seeing them smile and happy. I mean, it's a lot like sports. I mean, it's what does it for me. So I don't, no matter how I'm feeling, I've played throwing up off the side of the stage every second song, and I've played with kidney stones and whatever. It don't matter, man. I mean, when the music starts, I get with it. That's all I know to do.
Colt Ford with us coming up November 4th at Daly's Place Amphitheater. The new album is Love, Hope, Faith. The current single, Young Americans. Take us through the process of making this album and everybody that contributed for you here.
Well, you know, I've been kind of known for doing a lot of collaborations, and it's something that's fun to me. I love working with other artists, and it's always unique to see, you know, to have another artist, especially somebody that you're friends with or you respect so much. And this album is no different than that. I finally got to do a song with my good buddy Toby Keith, somebody who I'd always loved, and Rad Paisley's on here and Tyler Farr and the new single, you know, Young Americans, I did with Charles Kelly from Lady Antebellum and his brother Josh Kelly, who is also a singer. And, you know, but I did a lot more by myself on this record, a lot more me trying to, you know, branch out and do more on my own, and a lot more me just trying to find different kinds of songs, songs that are still who I am, but also, you know, switch it up a little bit. And I try to do that every record, really, to give people, you know, you don't want to change who you are and you don't want to forget your core roots of how you got there. But at the same time, you also want to try to branch out and do, see if you can't bring some new fans over there. So I try to do that every record. And I think this record is the one I did it the most on. I'm really, really proud of this record.
Is there a collaboration that you haven't done that you would like to do? And how do you reach out to other people, you know?
I get asked that a lot, and for me, everybody that I've worked with, I'm friends with. It's nothing set up by managers or anything like that. So, to me, I'm excited to work with anybody who's excited to work with me. When it comes to music, I mean, as long as you want to go in there and do something that's creative and don't want to go, well, there's certain rules, you can only do this or you can only do that. If you're willing to take that hat off and just go in there and have fun, then I'm into it. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is to me. So I just enjoy playing. I mean, I really do. I mean, and I enjoy creating. So, I mean, there's a lot of, I'd like to do, there's quite a few country artists I think I'd still like to work with. And I always do songs with artists from different genres. I mean, I'd love to do some collaborations from some different genres just to see what we could come up with, you know, just see, I think it'd be fun.
Colt Ford is with us, coming up November 4th at Daly's Place Amphitheater. All right, Colt, I got to take you back. Let's go back a little bit. 2008 was your first album, right? So
right. What
was your first paid gig as a musical artist? Do you remember where and when and who was around you?
Yeah, it was the 4th of July, not far from you guys, down in Valdosta, Georgia. They had a big 4th of July celebration. We didn't know really what was going on. I meant how it would work. I mean, we knew they had been kind of playing the record, and we knew what was happening on social media. I mean, and, you know, they said, well, we normally have between, you know, 400 or 500 and maybe 1,000 people show up for this thing and the fireworks and everything. And then all of a sudden 5,000 people showed up, and it was crazy. And I signed autographs literally for 3.5 hours after the show. It was just unbelievable. And, you know, right there, it was like, wait, I mean, these people, they like this. They knew the words. So, I mean, it was just crazy. And it was just, it was exciting and humbling. And, you know, you never know how it's going to turn out. You hope that you work hard and you hope it's going to work, but it was certainly exciting to see that the very first time.
You have a bit of a history of playing here in Jacksonville too, right?
Oh yeah, I played Jacksonville several times. I'm at from back at Freebirds to down there and on the boardwalk down there. God, what's the name of that club? Mavericks.
Yeah, Mavericks.
Down there quite a few times down there, and I played the stadium before, the Jack Stadium with on the big tour. It was me and I think the day we played, maybe me and Chesney and Brantley and Gilbert, I think, or
the Superfest. That's right, the Country Music Superfest.
Yeah, well, they moved it now, so I did it a couple. I meant to Daytona, really, but I did it a couple times. I think once with those guys and once with Al Dean and Eric Church. So, yeah, I'm at Jacksonville, and of course, growing up, Mathens, you know. Jacksonville's going to be rocking next week, me being the Georgia Bulldog, so it's going to be rocking next week.
Do you come down for the cocktail party, Colt?
I have been there several times in my life, but I will not be there. I got to work this weekend, but it's exciting. It's exciting. It's always one of the neatest things in the whole world. I mean, I was actually on the sidelines in 1980 when Lindsey Scott caught the pass, so yeah, I got a lot of history there.
Colt Ford is with us, and we'll finish with this, Colt, your excitement, and you're looking forward to playing here in Jacksonville again, I'm sure, but at Daly's Place Amphitheater, what do you know about the new venue, and how excited are you for this?
Well, I just, you know, I'm so excited to be a part of it. It's exciting to watch it, seeing the Jags play this year. I mean, Bortles, you guys got, it's nice to see see what's going on in Jacksonville. Such a football, just such a sports town in general. I mean, I love being a part of it. I don't know much about the deal, except I've heard it was awesome from a few friends of mine, and I just can't wait to be a part of it. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. I'm excited to be a part of it and get the chance to play there. There is no question about that.
Colt Ford, tickets available starting at $15, up to $30. DailyPlace.com for tickets. Saturday, November 4th, the night before the Jags host the Cincinnati Bengals. Great to talk to you. We're looking forward to the show, Colt. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to seeing you guys, and I hope I can hang around and watch the Jags beat the Bengals.
Our thanks to Colt Ford for his time this week. Remember, tickets available at DailyPlace.com or by calling 633-2000. Also, thanks to Jaguars head coach Doug Marrone during the bye week. And as always, a special thanks to Jags manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. We'll talk to you next week on the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.